Welcome to the ADV podcast, the official podcast of the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology. This episode marks the fourth episode of a special series covering some of the best venereology talks delivered at the ADV Congress in Berlin. Across the coming months, you will hear from world-renowned expert speakers and interviewers covering various venereological conditions. But first, we are accepting abstract submissions for the ADV Congress hosted in Amsterdam in September. Submitting an abstract offers you the opportunity to actively contribute to shaping the trajectory of global medicine, and it's your chance to showcase your research live to an audience of colleagues, influential thought leaders, and industry experts. The deadline to receive submissions is 24th of April 2024. Head to eadv.org for more information. Today we are joined by Professor Michael Skirlev. He is full professor of dermatology and venereology in Zagreb University Hospital and president of the Croatian STD Society, as well as the chair of the EADV HPV Task Force. Dr. Michael Skirlev is in conversation with third-year resident Anastasia Abatainche, and together they delve into the trends and contributing factors in the spread of HPV infections. Professor Skirlev shares insights on how best to create a safe space for patients to discuss sensitive topics and the future of addressing research gaps in HPV research. Tune in to learn more about the challenges and opportunities in HPV prevention and treatment. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, my name is Anastasia Boitanche. I'm a third-year dermatovenerology resident from Brasov, Romania, and I am here with Professor Michael Skirlev from Croatia. Can you tell us a few words about yourself, please?
Well, thank you. I'm Michael Skirlev. I'm dermatovenerologist, professor of dermatology and venereology for many years in University Hospital Center Zagreb, Croatia, and also president of the Croatian STD Society. But more than that, completely devoted to the EADV, to HPV. I chair the HPV Task Force, and I also used the Europe Council member. Definitely devoted the whole my life to STIs, to HPV in particular.
That's an impressive career. Thank you for being with us today. Well, you delivered a fascinating talk at the ADV Congress this year with the topic of the advantages of HPV vaccinations. What would be the three top takeaway messages from your talk?
Well, thanks for this compliment. I cannot realize if it were or if it were not fascinating, but that's what is fascinating, is the fact that vaccine exists. That's the most fascinating talk. So my, if you can number it, three things to do, it's vaccinate, vaccinate, and vaccinate. These are the three things, because I'm still not completely confident if this message has entered enough into the ears and hearts of many patients, but also of many doctors. So again, vaccinate, vaccinate, and vaccinate.
I completely agree with you. What would you think there are some trends and contributing factors you are seeing in the spread and frequency of HPV infections?
Well, this has changed a little bit. Of course, this is the most frequent STIs. I would put the limit of the viral origin, depending a little bit on the parts of the world. Definitely, a very comparatively long incubation rate, it's about per months, then a very difficult distinguishing between recurrence and reinfection, then other STIs, and then definitely today some other factors, change in the life behavior, a kind of a PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is good in terms of controlling HIV/AIDS and getting people to get tested. But on the other hand, the other disease, such as HPV, would have spread more because mostly, unfortunately, those people don't use condoms all the time. And then it's elicit some chemical substances. And the change of this kind of life, these are all the factors greatly contributing to the very high frequency of the human papillomavirus infection.
So education for our patients is very important to preventing HIV infection and HPV, of course.
Definitely. Education on all levels. Education is still one of the main program if we consider education as something not always very officially, but also get the people aware. It's awareness raising, and it's a very education in a friendly level, not intimidating the patients, not frightening them, or not making them to hide something under the carpet, because the situation would have been the other way around. Education on the level of patient communication, on the level of the, which is very important, schooling system, but definitely among the health workers, and definitely EADV Congress, UST International Union Against Sexually Transmitted Infection in Europe, and particular EADV courses on HPV are one of the platforms for that education.
I completely agree. Speaking of education, we are young doctors. How do you suggest we train ourselves and to create a safe space for our patients to discuss these topics? What would be your advice?
Well, it's also an excellent question. First of all, no matter when, young doctors should learn their specialty. So you should definitely be trained in terms of good dermatovenereological knowledge. That's the most important, to establish correct diagnosis, to really sometimes try to differ between sometimes very complicated differential diagnosis, and to provide or think about the best available treatment, which is quite complicated and a little bit confusing in the area of the HPV. That's the basic for anything. Without it, there is no good result. Then again, I think you should get an approach that STI patient, well, although theoretically it's the same like any other medical patient, but you know, it's not the same to have an otitis or to have some STIs. It has a lot of social and culturological background. Thus, an approach should be with a lot of confidence. And then again, use these opportunities such as EADV congresses, UST Europe conferences, to exchange the international knowledge, because, you know, this is virtual is okay, but nothing can replace a face-to-face contact and discussion. With all this together and with goodwill, I think the result would be good.
Exactly. Communication is key, and collaboration. Yeah. I would like to ask you once again, vaccination is a difficult topic sometimes during our consultations. What are the main concerns that your patients have, and how do you approach vaccination?
Well, unfortunately, in spite of the very good knowledge in the medical societies, for example, in Croatia, about the necessity of the HPV vaccination, the whole climate in the country is not so very favorable. In general, there is always anti-vaxxers movement, which unfortunately we saw during the COVID era. Then again, it's a fear. The people sometimes react with rejecting something because of the fear. Oh my God, what is this? Then there is some very ugly propaganda, or better say anti-propaganda, persuading the parents, because these are mostly the children of the age of 10 to 11, 12, and the parents need to consign it. Well, sometimes the parents are influenced that, oh my God, I'm giving to my daughter in particular a carte blanche for the sexual immoral behavior, completely disinformation. So we need to fight against this publicly accepted disinformation and to be very persistent, because those ones against are very powerful. On the other hand, I'm asking everybody, who is going to take care about these young people today, one day with the malignant diseases, which shouldn't have happened if those people would have been vaccinated. So, information, persistence, and goodwill.
I think that's a really good approach. One last question about the future. What are we missing in terms of the HPV research field? Could you suggest maybe a research gap that needs to be filled?
Yes, yes, definitely. With young people, international. When I say international, it is internationally. But also researchers from the countries which might be a little bit different than some that have been more representative in publishing articles. It means a kind of projects that would include the demographic characteristics of the different parts of, if we speak Europe now, because it is not the same. So well-behaved projects, including experts or young people representing the different demographic situations, because Europe is a beautiful continent, but full of varieties. And we need to respect these varieties. We need to prove it. We need to have more data in order to have a more clear picture about Europe as a whole.
Thank you so much again for your interview and for your kind answers and very comprehensive answers. I would like to say thank you again and wish you all the best in organizing your congresses, your events, and keep up the spirit with the HIV prevention.
Thank you so much. I am also using this opportunity to say that we have an International Union Against Sexually Transmitted Infection Europe organized, it means structured, a congress in Zagreb in Croatia next September, and many more to come. So I think that also many dermatovenerologists would be present there. Thank you for your interview.
Thank you for listening, and please make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, or otherwise you can find us on any major podcast provider. We appreciate you joining us and look forward to presenting more interviews, research, and other important topics. And stay tuned for the next episode of the Venereology Talk series. Until then, take care of your skin and sexual health.